This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. We now move on to the next hadith, and that is hadith number 20 insha'Allah. An Abi Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت رواه البخاري. This hadith, brothers and sisters, narrated on the authority of Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the words of the previous prophets that the people have passed on, and we continue to mention this even right now, mashaAllah, this is from the legacy of the previous Anbiya. What's those words that the previous Anbiya had mentioned to their people, and their prophets who came after them mentioned to their people, up to the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he mentioned to his companions? What are those words, subhanAllah? إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you feel no shame, if you have no shame, then do as you wish. رواه البخاري. بإذن الله تعالى, we discuss the explanation of this hadith. Number one, the تخريج. This hadith has been reported by Imam al-Bukhari, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. Imam al-Bayhaqi also makes mention of this, and many others. Hadith completely authentic, walhamdulillah. Number two, the narrator. The narrator, Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, or Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. He is from the Ansar, more especially he was from the Khazraj. He is called Badri, but did he participate in the Battle of Badr? There's debate. Usually somebody, something, some name, Badri means they fought in the Battle of Badr. But there's a great debate with regards to Abu Mas'ud. In reality, majority of the ulama state, he is called Badri, not because he fought in the Battle of Badr, but rather because he lived in the area near Badr. And that's the opinion of majority of the ulama. He also was present during Bi'atul Aqaba al-Thaniya, the second pledge of allegiance that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken from the people of Medina while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still a resident of Mecca during the time of Hajj. We all know the people of Medina had come during that Hajj there, and they had pledged allegiance to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bay'atul Aqaba, the first one, then Bay'atul Aqaba, the second one. He was present at the second one, plus minus 70 individuals. He participated in the Battle of Uhud and the various battles which took place after that. He was on the side of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and when Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had left Kufa, we know that Ali radiallahu ta'ala an shifted the seat of the caliphate from Medina al-Munawwara to Al-Kufa during the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. The seat of the caliphate was Medina al-Munawwara, but during the rule of Ali, he moved it to Kufa. Well, when he left Kufa to head out to the Battle of Siffin, who did he leave in charge of Kufa? He left Abu Mas'ud al-Badri radiallahu ta'ala an, and he narrates plus minus 102 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number three, we move on to the general comments related to this hadith and the explanation insha'Allah. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you have no shame, then do as you wish. This hadith here dealing with the matter of haya, dealing with the matter of modesty, shyness, bashfulness, your shame, your sense of shame, your moral conscience, subhanAllah. It points to one of the most important characteristics that a person can possess, this characteristic of haya. This haya prevents you from doing this lewd type of sin prevents you from doing this wrong. Somebody is watching, you know, Allah is watching, and thus you avoid. You have this sense of modesty, sense of shame, sense of bashfulness, subhanAllah. Imam Al-Munawi, he states that Islam revolves around this hadith, because Islam is either you need to do something or you do not do something. And if you have this sense of haya, then you will fulfill what Allah wants from you, and you will desist from what Allah does not want you to do. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam states, Inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalamin nubuwwati al-ula. From the words that the people have received of the previous anbiyas. So these words were passed down to even the followers of the previous anbiya, subhanAllah. So this means that this statement about modesty has been passed down from prophet to prophet, nabi to nabi. It was part of their legacy. We know that in fiqh, in usul fiqh, we have the concept called ijma'. Ijma' is when there is consensus on a certain point. For example, there are 5 daily prayers that we have to pray. There is ijma', consensus on this matter. There are only 2 Eids in the year. There's consensus on this matter. Ijma', excellent. And when we have ijma', then this here is a source, and it is a proof, and it is something which is extremely strengthy. Well, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, imagine, subhanAllah, if we have ijma' of the anbiya. These words have been passed down nabi to nabi. There is ijma' of the anbiya on this matter, part of their legacy, the importance of haya. Sometimes in the family, somebody talks, somebody says, you know, this person, they don't have any haya. Look at this individual, you know, where's their haya, subhanAllah? I was walking, I was talking to him, but he's got absolutely no haya. Look at her, look at the state. No haya, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, all previous sharia's, they agree on this matter. All of the prophets, they emphasized, they praised the characteristic of modesty, and they ordered their followers to do so. They ordered their followers to also carry out and build upon this character of haya. Inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalamin nubuwwati al-ula idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi'it. If you have no shame, then do as you wish. What does that mean? If you have no shame, do as you wish. What does that mean? SubhanAllah. We find that the ulama have plus minus 3 to 4 interpretations of these super short words of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt, he was jawami'ul kalim. He would say a few words and you could expand upon it in volumes. The first interpretation, that this is as a threat. This is a warning or a threat. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. Although it comes in the form of an order. If you have no shame, then do as you wish. Like an order, do as you wish. Although it comes in the form of a command or an order, it does not mean that. But rather, what this hadith means, the first interpretation, is that it is a warning or it's a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a threat from the point of the sharia. It means, if you have no shame or modesty, then do whatever you wish, and Allah will recompense you. If you have no shame or modesty, then do whatever you wish, and Allah will give you what you deserve. Allah will recompense you. Allah will punish you for what you did. And this style can be found in the Noble Quran. We find, for example, اعملوا ما شئتم إنه بما تعملون بصير. Surah Fussilat, verse number 40. Do as whatever you want. Do what you will. Do whatever you want. Verily Allah is the all-seer of what you do. SubhanAllah. That's a threat. That is a threat. And it is a warning that if you do whatever you want to do, well, you are going to meet Allah and you are going to get your recompense for your actions. SubhanAllah. So it's not a command to do whatever you want, but rather it is a threat. And this is the opinion of Imam Al-Munawi, Al-Bugha, Mustu, and others. And they say that this is the stronger opinion with regards to the various interpretations. So the first interpretation, it is Tahdeed, and it is Al-Wa'id, it is a threat or it is a warning. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have no shame, then do as you wish. But you will meet Allah and you will get whatever you deserve. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second interpretation forwarded by the ulama, by the scholars of Al-Islam, is that it is from the point of ikhbar, it is from the point of news information. That although in the command form, or in the form of an order, from what it means, it is a case of an order being used as a statement of fact. That's the important point. It is a statement of fact, meaning it is as if it states, if a person does not have any shame, then he does whatever he wishes. It's like a fact, a statement. If a person does not have any shame, then the individual will do whatever they wish. It is, for example, from the point that haya is one of the most important factors which keeps a person away from lewdness or sinful acts. And if this person does not have that haya, he does not have this feeling of shame or modesty, then there's nothing to prevent them from doing whatever wrong they want to do. He will go and he will do anything, because there's nothing inside him telling him that such and such is not a good deed, such and such is not good behavior. It's not telling him that one should be ashamed and one shouldn't do this. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Fahimtum? You understand? This interpretation number two, is like a statement of fact. If a person does not have any shame, then they will do whatever they want. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions with regards to this matter. Ibn al-Qayyim states that if a person does not have any shame, they will do whatever they want. And he adds and he states that as a person commits more and more sins, his haya is weakened more and more. Super important, brothers and sisters. Beautiful words and important words of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He states that when a person commits sins, his feeling of haya is lessened. As he commits more and more and more sins, his haya is weakened more and more, to the point that it might not exist at all, completely erased, wiped away all of his haya. When he gets to that point, he does not care what the people think or what the people say about him. In fact, he might even start to brag or tell people about the sins that he's committed. Checked into this place, checked into that place, been here, been there. You know what I did this weekend? You know what I did last week? I was with this one and I was with that one and I was with him and I was with her, etc., etc. Posting pictures left, right and center. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ibn al-Qayyim states, the more you sin, the weaker your haya gets. The more you sin, until eventually that haya is completely erased. Then the person completely is like, it is as if their heart is dead. They now brag about that sin, Allah musta'an. This type of person will not be forgiven. And the road to repentance, the road to tawbah, will be blocked for such a person. Why? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O listener, your Nabi, your Rasul, your Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Kullu ummati mu'afa illal Mujahideen. All of my ummah will be forgiven except the ones who commit sins openly. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجَاهَرَةِ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الرَّجُلْ بِالْلَّيْلَ عَمَلًا ثُمَّ يُصْبِحْ. That it is from Mujahara. Everybody will be forgiven except the Mujahideen. Who's these Mujahideen? What's this Mujahideen? It is when a person does some sin at night. He wakes up in the morning and Allah covered up his sin at night. And he goes around, Ya Fulan, oh so and so. عَمِلْتُ الْبَارِحَةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. I did such and such last night. I did such and such last night. وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبُّهُ. And he spent the night and Allah covered up his sin. And he comes out in the morning. وَيُصْبِحُ يَكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْهُ. And he wakes up in the morning. It's not bad enough, subhanAllah, that you've sinned at night. Allah, out of His mercy, covered up that sin. But you go out in the day and you expose your sins of the night. These individuals will not be forgiven. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Allahu musta'an. Every one of the ummah will be forgiven except the ones who are the open sinners. And think about it, brothers and sisters. Yes, you've sinned. If you have that sense of haya, modesty, bashfulness, you want to cover up that sin. You don't want people to know about that sin. You are ashamed. You are ashamed with regards to this matter. Worse, if you are not ashamed and you come out and you publicize it. And then further to that, subhanAllah, in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the public, they become desensitized with regards to the sin. So-and-so has committed this. So-and-so is robbing that. So-and-so is defrauding somebody else. So-and-so is not paying back his debts, etc. So-and-so is living in zina. Together, these Ahmed and Sumayya living together 5-7 years now. They've already got 2 kids, but they're not even married. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We'll meet family on the day of Eid, visit family all of this year. But the kids born out of wedlock, Allah musta'an. Where's that sense of haya? Where's that bashfulness? Where's that modesty? Where's that haya? If not of Allah, but then if of the people. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, the mujahideen, they will be the ones who will not be forgiven. Ibn al-Qayyim, we discussed his statement that the more you sin, the weaker your heart. The more you sin, the lesser and lesser and lesser of haya you have left until completely erased. Allah musta'an. This interpretation that it is more a statement of fact, that this hadith is more a statement of fact, that if a person does not have any shame, then he does whatever he wishes. Ibn Qutayba of this opinion, Abu Ubaidah, Qasim ibn Salam, Ibn Nasr Maruzi, Imam Ahmed, a riwayah from him, that this was also his interpretation. Then we have Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, a few other interpretations of other scholars. For example, the interpretation that this hadith, rather, what it means is ibaha. It means ibaha. It means permissibility. What does that mean? If you have no shame, then do as you wish. It means permissibility. Yeah, it means permissibility. How? That this order here means permission. It is as if what the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was, if you want to do something and it is an act that there's no reason for you to be ashamed of it in front of Allah or in front of the people, then you may do that act. I repeat, it is permission to you that if you want to do something and it is something that there's no reason to be ashamed of it in front of Allah, in front of the people, then you may do that act. According to this interpretation, that this modesty or this shame or this bashfulness, it is the standard over whether or not one should do the act. SubhanAllah. It becomes the standard. It is the standard that you weigh whether you should do the act or you shouldn't. If, for example, there's no reason to be ashamed, alhamdulillah, then do it. It's good, it's fantastic. But if there's a reason to be ashamed, then you do not do it. If there's a reason to be ashamed, then from this act, either with respect to Allah or with others, then you should not perform it. And this was the interpretation of Imam al-Nawawi, and also a riwayah from Imam Ahmed, and it is similar to the verse of the noble, or similar to the verse of the noble Quran. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. That when the salah is over, when salatul jumu'ah is over, then technically it's an order. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Spread in the earth. وَبْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And seek the livelihood, seek the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it mean after salatul jumu'ah we are ordered to go out and do business, etc.? No. Rather, it means permissibility. It is now permissible for you. So these were the 3 interpretations. There's also a 4th. Some ulama put forward. They said that since it's not allowed to do any act as you wish, it is not allowed to leave having modesty and shame. Just like you're not supposed to just do as you wish, similarly, you should not leave out modesty and shame. The first three interpretations are rather strong interpretations. The first one being a warning or a threat, the second one being a statement of fact, and the third one being a matter of permission. Subhanallah, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam few words, but one can expand greatly upon those words. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, what is this concept of haya? What does the word haya mean? How do we define it? Haya, a sense of shame, one's shyness, one could say bashfulness, right? But not always. For example, linguistically, it means the shrinking of the soul from foul conduct. Linguistically, it means a shrinking of the soul from foul conduct, or through fear or of blame, etc. You find, for example, the word haya is derived from the word al-hayah. Al-hayah, which means life. Rain, for example, is called what? Is also called haya. Why? Because it brings life to the earth and vegetation. And it is said that the one who has no haya, no shame, thus is like the dead person in this life. I hope you understood the link between those two. Rain is called haya. Why? Rain is called haya, and haya means life. And our discussion, modesty, shamefulness, bashfulness, is also called haya because it is linked to life. And thus the one who does not have haya is like the one without a heart, is like the one who is dead, Allah musta'an. In fact, his heart can be considered dead. If he possesses modesty and shame, his heart will be sound and healthy. The more modesty one possesses, the healthier the heart is, and the less modesty a person has, the less life and health his heart possesses. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Al-Muqaddam, he mentions and he points out that haya is the attribute that truly distinguishes a human being from an animal. Subhanallah, haya distinguishes the human being from the animal. In general, animals, they follow their desires or their instincts without any feeling of whether this is right or whether it is wrong, etc., etc. They do not feel any shame in relation to their actions, but rather the human being, he does feel that, subhanallah, he does feel that. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So that was the definition of this haya. As for two types of haya, you have haya, modesty, shame, that which every human being naturally possesses. This is something which is natural, it is part of the fitrah. And there's also an element of acquired haya. This is where you train yourself to increase yourself in haya. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, haya an Uthman. You hear in the Jumu'ah khutbah where the Imam mentions the haya, the high level of haya that who had, that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he possessed. And that was praised. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So you have natural type of haya, which is part of the fitrah that every individual possesses. And there's also the acquired type of haya. Somebody might ask, what about the importance and the virtues of haya? What about the importance and the virtues of haya? Well, subhanallah, al-haya'u min al-haya'u wal-iman qurina jami'an fa'idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhar. As was mentioned, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, haya and iman are two companions that go together. If one of them is lifted, then the other is also lifted. Rawahu al-Hakim. Iman and haya go together, subhanallah. We also find the other hadith, al-haya'u min al-iman. Haya is from iman. Hadith reported in Sahih Muslim. Al-iman bid'u wa sab'una, aw bid'u wa sittuna shu'ba. Iman has plus minus 60 or 70 branches. فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The highest, the best is to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاتَةُ الْعَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And the least is that you remove harmful objects from the pathways of people. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And to have haya, to be bashful, to have a sense of shame, to be shy, This is from iman. And this hadith here reported in Imam al-Bukhari Sahih and in Sahih Muslim. Another hadith, subhanallah, al-haya'u min al-iman wal-imanu fil-jannah. that haya is from iman, and faith, iman, is in Jannah. وَالْبَذَاءُ مِنَ الْجَفَاءُ وَالْجَفَاءُ فِي النَّارِ. And lewdness, to be raw, to be lewd, it is part of hardness of the heart. And the hardness of the heart is in the fire, Allah musta'an. Hadith recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. More ahadith with regards to the importance and the virtue of haya. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, when there were two individuals arguing over something and somebody had, you know, this high level of haya, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam states, Al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khair. Haya does not produce except goodness. There's only goodness that comes out of having haya. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Inna li kulli deen khuluqan wa inna khuluqa al-Islam al-haya. Every religion has a particular manner or a particular characteristic. And the characteristic or the khuluq of Islam is what? It is haya, subhanallah, recorded in the Sunan of Imam Ibn Majah. مَا كَانَ الْفُحْشُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ وَمَا كَانَ الْحَيَاءُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَ. Lewdness, to be raw, does not appear in anything except that it blemishes it. And haya does not appear in anything except that it beautifies it, subhanallah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, when individuals, when for example you read the descriptions of the people of the past, especially with regards to females, subhanallah, read the noble Quran, the Qissa of Musa alayhi salam, when he came and he sat down and there were those girls, those women, and they wanted the water but they stood aback. Why? Because the men were taking their water and they waited until all of them were over and they were finished. After Musa alayhi salam assisted them in that, then they came and they said that our Father is calling you and he wants to reward you for your assisting us. And when they walked, what did Allah mention in the noble Quran? That they walked the walk of haya, subhanallah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, Musa, even from the Anbiya, إِنَّ مُوسَى كَانَ رَجُلًا حَيِّيًّا سِتِّيرًا لَا يُرَى مِنْ جِلْدِهِ شَيْءٍ اسْتِحْيَاءً مِنْهُ. That Musa alayhi salam was a modest, bashful individual. No part of his skin was ever seen due to his shyness, recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. Our Nabi, what about our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What about his level of haya? كان النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was more bashful than a virgin girl who was kept in her private compartments, etc. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, super high level of haya, walhamdulillah. And we all know, as was mentioned, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and his high level of haya. Once the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr entered, and then Umar entered, and then Uthman entered. When Abu Bakr and Umar entered, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some narrations, his knee was exposed. But when Uthman entered, he covered his knee. He didn't do it for Abu Bakr and Umar, but he covered his knee when Uthman entered. Later on, Aisha, our mother radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did he do this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not have haya for an individual who the angels have haya for him, subhanallah? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And subhanallah, haya is also one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this quality of haya. We find in Allah azza wa jal hayyun sittirun yuhibbul haya was-satr fa idha ightasala ahadukum falyastatir. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attribute, the sifat of great modesty and concealment. And he loves modesty and concealment. Therefore, if any one of you goes to wash himself, he should conceal himself. We find the other hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌ يُحِبُّ الْحَيَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this attribute of haya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that we also have it. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went on the Isra and the Mi'raj, every time Musa alayhi salam said to him, you know, your ummah will not manage this number of salah, and go again. And from 50, it came down, until it was 5. What did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, I cannot go back. Musa said, your ummah will not manage 5 daily prayers. He says, I cannot go back. Why? Out of haya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of modesty, out of bashfulness, he was shy to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, haya with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haya with regards to the angels around you. Haya with regards to the other human beings. Haya with regards to your own self, subhanallah. We find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating, istahyu min Allahi haqq al-haya. Have this level of haya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Wallahu ahaqqu an yustahya minhu minan nas. Allah has more right that one be shy before him than the people. Subhanallah. We find the statements of many a scholar that do not be a devoted servant of Allah. MashaAllah. You are a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public. But your behavior when you are alone in your private affairs, then you are a wali of shaitan. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. One's shyness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when one is alone is probably more important than when you in front of the people. Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhi states, be shy towards Allah when you are in private, in the same way that you are shy towards the people when you are in public. You won't do this and you won't do that in public. You wear certain types of garments, etc. when you are in public. But when you stand for salah, what are you wearing in your home when you stand for salah? Allah musta'an. You are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bilal ibn Sa'd al-Auza'i stated that he heard Bilal ibn Sa'd stating that do not be a devoted servant in your public behavior while you are an enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your private affairs. Allah musta'an. But also, brothers and sisters, take note that there's a concept called false haya. False haya. What is false haya? False haya is when you avoid speaking the truth. This in reality is not haya. I was shy. I had this haya. I couldn't tell them whatever needed to be told. No. That there in reality is that you are more embarrassed. Or for example, that's cowardice. You're a coward in that matter. You should speak the truth. And you should not state that, well, it is due to my hayat that I'm not speaking up the truth. Similarly, when one does not call to good and when one does not forbid the evil, this type is a false type of haya. Or for example, when it comes to seeking knowledge, he doesn't ask. Why? Because he says, out of haya, I won't ask. Allah musta'an. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she states, from amongst the virtues of the woman of the Ansar, shyness did not keep them from asking and getting an understanding of the religion. Subhanallah. The women of the Ansar, they did not allow their shyness, their bashfulness, their haya to prevent them from asking whatever questions they needed to ask. And similarly, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhi states, the one who does not have knowledge should not be too shy to ask until he gets that knowledge. Do not let that be a barrier. Allah musta'an. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, in summary, in closing, we state that Islam and haya go together. Iman and haya go together. Haya is that standard. Judge your actions based upon the standard of haya. If, for example, there's nothing for you to be ashamed of, there's nothing for you to be embarrassed about this matter, then go ahead. But if you should be embarrassed and you should be shy about this matter, then do not. This is obviously if your heart is healthy and your level of haya is nice and strong, then it can be that criterion and the standard. But if the heart's already dead, Allah musta'an, then the warning, if you have no haya, do as you wish, and you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the media today, Allah musta'an. Nudity left, right and center. Indecency left, right and center. How rare it is that the good qualities are praised. The qualities of respect, the qualities of honesty. How rare it is that those qualities are praised, but rather the opposite is praised. Allah musta'an. In reality, in the media, one might say that 50 years ago, what we see today on television, the media, your computer, your laptop, your whatever, the internet, what we see today, 50 years ago, people who were, people not even of faith, did not even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would not even do such actions. Whereas today, left, right and center, Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. Imagine 50 years from now, what's the situation going to be? Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, haya is a sign that the soul is healthy, that the soul cares about what the individual is doing, that this individual has a conscience, subhanAllah. The fact that he's got this haya, it shows that his heart is alive. Haya is a sign that the person's soul is healthy, cares about what he's doing. Wala, Allah states in the Noble Quran, Wala uqsimu bin nafsil lawwama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that mentioned this type of soul in the Noble Quran. And I swear by the self-reproaching soul. Wala uqsimu bin nafsil lawwama. And later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the other type of soul. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu illa man rahima rabbi. Verily the human self, the soul, orders one to do evil except the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had and shown mercy upon him. This hadith, brothers and sisters, is part of the consensus of the Anbiya, that this piece of information has passed down from Nabi to Nabi until this evening, subhanAllah, wherein we mentioned it to one another, wherein we heard those words of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those same words which all of the Anbiya before him had mentioned to their followers. What is it again? إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you have no shame, then do as you wish. It is either a statement of fact, or it is a warning, or it shows us that the standard should be the matter of haya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a high level of haya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this quality of bashfulness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our honor, to protect our dignity. Those sins that we've committed in the darkness of the night, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to cover them up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to expose us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the sins we've committed during the brightness of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also keeps them away from the people, keeps them hidden and forgives us for that. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as that scholar he said, if my sins had an odor, then people would run away from me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered up my sins and they do not know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and the hereafter, and to grant us knowledge which is beneficial. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, until we meet again, Hayyakumullah. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.